Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today, we will be discussing a very important session on understanding the maturation momentum. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim here, and today with me is the manager for One Thing Global Leadership Summit for the last 2 years. And as a young leader in IHOP KC, who have spent a number of years actually observing how this prayer movement has grown and touched the nations of the earth, it will be really interesting for me to discuss with you how vibrant movement actually go through different phases. And in the previous podcast, we have discussed that there is something called a birthing momentum, where a catalytic person or a catalytic storyline or a catalytic event give birth to something that creates movement when a high number of stakeholder or people who engage in that particular storyline or that set of value create a movement forward that literally onboard thousands upon thousands of people. It becomes something like a movement that cannot be stopped, that accelerates in its growth. But growth curve do not actually keep growing exponentially. There is in the biological world, there is something called the S curve, where accelerated growth will reach a point where there is going to be a structural limit to the growth of the movement, and then the movement mature. So today we are going to actually discuss on how does movement matures? And when movement matures, how does it differs from the time when it was birthed and at the time when it grew in acceleration? And sometimes if we don't recognize these phases of the growth of the movement, we don't understand why things have changed and how to partner with the Holy Spirit in each of these phases. So changes are actually good if we know how to navigate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Just like as we observe the natural growth of a biological body, in the early days, the infant will put on a lot of weight in a rapid pace by weeks, by months, and by years. And even to childhood, there is a phase of growth. And then adolescence, you have this growth spurt in terms of height, but not so much in terms of weight necessarily, unless you bulk up through athletic trainings or sports or something like that. And then when you reach about 18 to 20 year old, you realize that the growth rate actually slows down, and necessary so that we don't keep growing taller and taller. There will not be doors for us to walk through or aeroplane that we can fit in. There is a point where we reach a maximum height determined by our genetic content and our environmental condition. So that's what we call maturation phase, when the growth slows down by necessity, by design. And so we're going to focus on that. So, Blair, did you observe that even while after you joined IHOP KC as a global prayer movement, that has been changes in the pace of the growth?
Yes, and I just want to say I'm thankful to continue the conversation. I've so enjoyed our conversations on the birthing and the acceleration. I think the maturation, which we're going to talk about, is so key. It can be really the turning point towards real maturing, or it can be the turning point towards non-success. I would say yes to answer your question. Since I joined when I was quite young, I would say I was kind of coming in at the end of one of those acceleration times, and we've seen a little bit of the leveling off, the maturation, and it's been a very good learning experience. Mm-hmm. I've observed a lot, and I'm actually now kind of asking the Lord to actually teach me what happened, and so I'm excited to even pick your brain little bit today with
it. In the previous session, we talked about acceleration phase, and during time acceleration phase, usually the momentum itself carry the growth. It's almost like the fish is jumping into the net, that it is an in thing to join the movement. It is a fad. People are afraid to lose out. They want to join now. They want to jump in because it's something that they feel valuable to belongs to. And so there is a high number of people that are saying yes at various level of engagement with that particular movement. And but the downside to that is that because it comes so easy and so fast, sometimes the people involved in the leadership of the movement as well as the core of the movement have not exercised enough muscles to pay attention to the details of some of the necessary processes and mechanics that will actually continue to foster great health in any movement, because it is moving so fast and there is a high turnover rate even in the acceleration phase. But it's actually, the turnover rate is not so observable because the net gain of the number of people, the quantitative growth, is still very positive. So let's say, for example, you have a church or you have a movement where 100 people join the church every week. So it's 5,200 a year. But there are 20 people who came and visit and they left. So 100 people join every week and 20 people left. There's still a net gain of 80 people. At the end of the year, that year of accelerated growth, most people will be celebrating and spending their energy trying to disciple the 80 people times 52 weeks, which is over 4,000 people that just joined the church.
But not asking why they lost 20%.
We don't have the bandwidth mm-hmm. and the manpower to cope with why people, the 20 people are leaving. Rather, the lot of energy usually spent on trying to incorporate and assimilate and onboard the 4,000 people, because at the time when the 4,000 people show up, this is a hypothetical number, the infrastructure could just be big enough for 3,000 people, but you just added another 4,000, making it 7,000. So the infrastructure is not there. The parking spaces are not there. The seats are not there. The discipleship, the lead, there's not enough leaders to mm-hmm. actually take out 4,000 people. So the movement, who is growing so fast, is scrambling to prioritize and put in place the necessary leadership structure and stewardship system to really retain and disciple or strengthen or train the people who join the movement. So therefore, there's almost like a unintentional negligence of asking why do the 20% do not stay every week. But when you reach a maturation phase, when it's no longer such a big fad, FAD fad, or a trendy thing to join, because you have 5 years in a row where thousands and thousands of people would just jump into the movement, and then when the novelty is lifted and the number of people are joining are slowing down, then that 20% of the people who left for the same reason, if you only have 20 people joining a week now at the maturation phase, not 100 because the growth slowed down, and then you still have 20 people leaving, you have a zero net gain. And then it's noticeable. And then you start to ask, okay, how did the people come at the first place? You know, and what are the proper method to actually pay attention to the people who show up? So anyway, this is just an example. There are many other different ways where things happen. I'm just giving you a very practical one.
Yes. So would you say that a pitfall when the 100 slows down to only becoming 20 coming in, a pitfall is to try to keep the acceleration going and almost not accepting the maturation aspect of it?
So the key transition between acceleration growth and maturation is actually a noticeable, I would say this, if you have a facility or a infrastructure that can cope with 3,000 people and 4,000 people are added, now you have 7,000, you keep trying to create infrastructure and system to cope with the movement, whether it's one location or multiple location, doesn't matter, but just infrastructure as a generic word, it will come to a point where the growth of the support system and the growth of the people in the movement will balance out into equilibrium, where you actually cannot add any more numbers in a meaningful way without putting too much weight at the expense of the system, the quality of the system. So that kick into the maturation phase. In the maturation phase, it kind of is a self-check and balance. The numbers slow down.
You're starting to check your system. versus...
Yes, and because the numbers slow down, then we don't have to spend so much energy and time to try to figure out to make more seats, more space, more efficient systems. Now we can ask a different set of questions. We can ask more qualitative set of questions.
Value questions.
Value question. Have we departed from our mission? Have we departed from our vision? Are we still doing investing most of our core strength on what the Lord is calling us to do?
And that's a question for the leadership, but also do our 7,000 have our values?
Correct. And especially during the accelerated phase, because it's so trendy, it's such an in thing to join the movement. People join the movement for all kinds of motives, mm-hmm. because it's so cool to be part of a movement. And so by the time you reach maturation phase, then there is a rebalancing. At that point of time, we actually need to ask those questions in order to make sure that those people stay in the movement, stay for the right reason. And it's not that everybody have to be part of the movement, but a movement is such a it has an intrinsic nature that's moving towards a certain direction. But if everybody is pulling that movement to different direction, eventually that movement will disintegrate because everybody who said to be part of the movement are trying to pull the movement in all different direction, not a cohesive, similar direction. Everybody have a different picture and different idea about what that movement should be like and where the movement should be heading. So the movement potentially could be hijacked. So the time of maturation is a time of truly asking a set of qualitative questions. So over here on the slide, I would say that there are key significant factors and elements that we need to pay attention to in terms of the catalytic element. There's always a context, and then there's always the momentum question. Okay? In terms of catalyst, number one is to accept the fact that during maturation phase, we will have niche catalysts within the movement where it's still accelerating, but the overall movement is not growing as fast as the acceleration phase. That doesn't mean that every part, subcomponent within the movement is not growing fast. There could be one or two areas, but not overall in a rush forward like in the acceleration
phase. The fish
phase.
Aren't jumping into the boat.
Yeah, so now we got to fine-tune to figure out the speed control, the level of which one's going fast. It's like, it's now the movement may have five main subcomponents, and which one do we allow to go fast, or which one do we slow it down? So it's not the same speed for everything, or everything is moving in high speed. We have to identify the speed control and precision for all the subcomponents. So and allow the right amount of catalyst to flow into each of those components. So that is, for example, I'll give you a practical example. Let's say you are in a typical church. And in the typical church, in the maturation phase, you have either halfway through a building project to enlarge your building, or you already done with your building project and you can't do another building project. If you just finish 3,000 seats, you can't add another 3,000 seats. That will take another 10 years of fundraising to build another 3,000 seats. So you're done for the next 10 years. You can't build another one. But what you can do is there could be more outreach. There could be more little centers, not gathering more people. So that could increase. Like, for example, the Sunday school trucks for kids could go out and you can multiply 7 trucks. So that could accelerate because now you're a lot of people. You need to mobilize them to reach the community. Or the missional component can go for. Or you can have prayer room. You can build one room that is open out there. You know, keep the door unlocked 24/7. Anybody can come in and at any time. Instead of saying, okay, I have only 7 services throughout the week. And if I open the door, you come. If I lock the door, you cannot come. No, like build an external low security thing in the parking space that people can come and just gather and do a cappella with a guitar string and all that. Keep it open. Something like that. Be creative. The point is, I'm saying that, yes, 7 services are maxed up. No more seat. You can build an extra building, you know, but there are subcomponents that you allow to accelerate, but we have to be precise. Mm. But the other context, now we got to foster real relationship and sense of belonging at that point of time. In the acceleration phase, we want to, but turnover is fast and everybody has multiple responsibility and everybody's overloaded with tasks, there's very little bandwidth. When things slow down in the maturation phase, now we got to pay attention to do this two things. Number one, be intentional to raise a broader base of leaders. We call that the movement advocates, people who understand, live, and effectively can reproduce and proclaim the value. They understand it, internalize it already because they were the early adopters of the movement, they jump in early, and they internalize it, they live it, and now we're training them how to reproduce it and proclaim it and explain to others. You need a substantially large number of those people if you want to kick into the next phase in a healthy way. So in terms of the maturation momentum, personnel-wise, that's something we need to pay attention to.
So just to summarize, I'm overall hearing you say that during the maturation phase, it's the leadership really focusing on, does our corporate body have an understanding of our values?
Which is aligning the value of the people.
Aligning the value.
Because the mixed group that came in during acceleration.
And then are they relating with each other around those values? Are they building a relationship?
Meaningful relationship.
And then is there a quorum of leaders who are being raised up to reproduce those values?
Yes. And usually people ask the secondary question too. It's not just real meaningful relationship. A sense of belonging. This is my home. This is my tribe. This is my family. This is my team. Whatever language you use, it's a sense that, I'm home.
I'm home.
Okay, I'm home. And you can use the language of the team. You can use the language of the family. You can use the language of the tribe. Whatever language you use, it's a sense that, I'm home. I belong to this group. And they accept me as part of them, even though we're not all the same. The second part is the impact question. The sense of belonging is important, but eventually, even after a while, when people feel safe and belong, they want to make a difference. So it's a mobilization and activation of their gifts into the right function. To make impact together and have the individual really connect to the fact that they are a valuable part of the whole.
Mm-hmm. That they are contributing.
They are contributing in a significant way based on the grace of God. Yeah. So maturation phase is inevitable. In fact, it's almost like an inbuilt self-check and balance for the acceleration phase. So the growth curve which grow exponentially will flatten.
That S curve.
Yeah, that will flatten. And usually at the end of it, you will reach a point of decision, which is the next phase. I think I can spend a whole session on that, and in the next session, call that the refreshing phase or the institutionalized phase. Mm. In fact, I hope Casey probably just recently, by the Holy Spirit, just step into that phase, because we have gone through a maturation phase for at least a round one maturation phase for a number of years, and then we hit a crossroad when we have to decide to actually reset, which is almost like a mini re-pioneering or institutionalization. And both of them are trying to answer a set of questions. Number one is, we have to make things clear who we are, what we are about, and how do we do things, how do we live together, and how do we function together, and what are we aiming at? And that is very important during the time of refreshing. Those who chose the path of institutionalization will standardize their belief in clear writing and reproducible way, and their process, their methods, even their catechism.
So even how, like, well, just for example, the Methodists, and we had the yes, revivals of the Wesleyans. And
same hymnal book.
Exactly, and then they institutionalized that this is across the board what we believe.
But you know, some people say, I don't like institution. No, it's the strength of the institution that allows some of this movement that started in Wild West revival, Holy Ghost fire revival, to spread over 100 countries, yeah, and
to a global influence.
Global movement, and they still stay together.
It might have never left the United States.
And then one person who sing this hymn in this country and sang the other hymn in another country in a different language, then they know they're singing the same hymn. And they actually know that at that note, in that melody, they're actually expressing that particular notion and expression to Jesus,
yeah,
in their worship.
It's powerful.
You know, that standardization is not all bad, but institutionalization has its downside, which is creativity, spontaneity, and room for a freshness of the things of God now is usually stifled, because every time you institutionalize, you have to standardize. When you standardize, you basically have to say yes to a number of things in a certain way, and then let the cement dry there and say this is the acceptable way, method, belief, and all that. And then the rest is not us. So the moment you do that, the spontaneous reality of the now and the creativity usually just goes out the window, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the whole world is right now moving to digital platform. We used to have analog, we have to have many different ways of transmission. But once we decide digitization, 0110001 is all just that. That doesn't mean other technologies are no good. We adopted one gigantic standardization to allow everybody to communicate across the board. But that's not the only way, right? So those who choose resetting, refreshing, decided that no, we can't standardize right now. We would like to have another fresh, wild, a wave and fire and what God has for this generation breaking in into our midst. With that,
we have to wait. It's a good teaser.
Yeah, we have to wait for the next podcast.
All right.